come va in questa partita? Roma-Lazio, cerca di capire, Elena, Roma-Lazio!
That's right, Alberto. It is a Rome derby special on today's Gol Lazio, celebrating the craziest of Calcio's cross-town clashes, looking back at some classic games and also forward to this Saturday's confrontation. Also today, how good is Piontek and are Juve about to lose their first league game of the season?
Delle briciole, concentrato e molto attento, sì, ma con la testa fra le nuvole.
To the sweet sounds of Il Piccione by Porvia, it is a new Gol Lazio with me, James Horncastle, and you, Jet. No, wait.
Roles reversed, James.
That's now what a lovely tune that is, and why is that in some strange way appropriate for today?
So, Francesco Totti, legendary Roma captain, was a guest on the stage at Sanremo a couple of years ago and was asked to name his favourite song. And he named that one Et Piccione because it's a derogatory way to refer to Lazio fans, who obviously, their nickname of the club is the Eagles. They have Olimpia the Eagle, who, you know, occasionally is allowed out to fly around the stadium before games, but not derby games because... too much tension going on for an eagle to be flying around, and also, you know, might be taken aim at by Roma fans. So when she isn't there, Roma fans like to sing "El piccione dove sta?" Where's the pigeon?
Right.
Yeah.
Catch that pigeon. Right. Absolutely. Well, Francesco Totti's such a huge part of this game over recent decades, both in terms of the goals he's scored, but also the amount of winding up he's done of his neighbours across town. And one of the reasons why this is not just the biggest event in Rome, but also the biggest derby in Italy, I would say.
Yeah, I think it's the fiercest. I think the bitterest is probably the Derby d'Italia these days between Juventus and Inter. But I think one of the reasons why the Rome derby is so sentita, you know, so felt in the city, is that, you know, historically, this is what defines what is a good and a bad season for both clubs, because they haven't won all that much. You know, you think Roma have won 3 league titles, Lazio have won 2. And so, yeah, this is why they talk about this game all year. You know, some of the managers and players who've played in the Derby della Madonnina or the Derby della Lanterna have said, you know, in those cases, you know, you might become aware that there's a big game coming, you know, a couple of days before the game by reading about it in the papers. But in Rome, you know, for months.
To be fair, every city has stories like this. This is the most keenly felt rivalry and everybody talks about it for months to come. But it's interesting that, say, a publication like 442 did their rundown of the 50 top derbies or rivalries in the world, and they have this as top 5, as the top Italian one. They've got Boca River in there, of course, Barcelona Real, Celtic Rangers, Nacional Peñarol, which is quite niche, and of course, Il Derby del Cupolone or Capitolino or whatever you want to call it. And I think that one of the reasons why it's so intense in Rome is not just the lack of success, it's the fact that there's so much concentration of media and attention on these teams every single week. You've got your own sports daily every single day of the week with about 20 pages on football. You've got, how many radio stations are there that exclusively deal in talking about Roma and Lazio?
There may be 10 each. And yeah.
And this is a city of what, 2.5 million people?
And, you know, I think Roma's owner, James Pilotta, has taken some pride at attempting to shut some of these radio stations down. And the reason why is because he wants to control the narrative. Because, as you say, there's this constant swirl of gossip, of sfottò, you know, that kind of just playful kind of banter, if you like, of insulting the other, which just whips up tensions disproportionately so. Really, as we say, for two clubs that are massive within the city, but then I would say considered provincial almost by everybody else because of the lack of trophies in their trophy cabinet, the lack of success.
Although a couple of the really interesting derbies we're going to look back on, one was actually the cup final, and the other was a kind of rite of passage of the Scudetto from one Roman team to another. Just to kind of highlight, I guess, the difference of this game, it's worth as well mentioning the derby that didn't take place, the one back in March 2004, which got abandoned after fans spread a rumour that a boy had been killed by a police car outside the Stadio Olimpico a couple of minutes into the second half.
Mm.
Basically, they called Francesco Totti over, one of the most important figures in world football, being basically beckoned over by the fans, and they told him that this had happened, that the game shouldn't continue. And he'd said that he'd heard the rumour, but the police had denied it. And the ultras tell him, no, we saw it and we've spoken to the relatives. This game finishes now. So they called the game off. Of course, nothing of the kind had happened. And what happened next instead was that the Roma and Lazio ultras went out together and had a combined attack on a local caserma, a local Carabinieri barracks.
Mm.
Rioting went on for hours. There are, I think, 130 people injured.
Yeah, despite Totti going on the public announcer speaker to say, you know, as you were leaving the stadium, we don't want this to descend into violence. That's exactly what happened. And you mentioned the ultras who came to talk to him. He said, look, I knew them. And this is, you know, plain fact for players in this rivalry who've grown up in that city. He said, you know, one of the head ultras' brothers, you know, lived on my street in my neighbourhood in Rome. And I wouldn't say they necessarily go out of their way to associate them, but they have to have some kind of a dialogue. And you look at the number of derbies, let's say, lost by these teams and how, you know, the next day they would have, you know, maybe 4,000 fans outside stopping them from getting out. But that derby in particular is full of conspiracy theories as to what was the motive behind getting the game abandoned. You know, one of them was that, you know, it was the ultras showing their power, showing that they could stop a game. That has been denied. There's been numerous trials to get to the bottom of what exactly went on in that game. But yeah, definitely one of the most bizarre, particularly when we mentioned the Papparelli derby. That derby did then get played the same day, even though a Lazio fan had been killed, and was played out in a bizarre, surreal atmosphere, really. So yeah, I mean, this rivalry has everything.
Well, ahead of the 150th meeting then Saturday of these two clubs in Serie A, let's have a little look back at a few of the more memorable recent additions.
Roma, 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 core de sta città, unico grande amore de tanta e tanta gente.
Antonello Venditti, of course, the unofficial, perhaps official, perhaps troubadour of the Gelarossi and creator of two of the finest club anthems ever.
Yeah, without doubt. You know, after every Roma win, James, they play Grazie Roma, which is another of the crooner's huge hits.
Now, in terms of derbies then, James, you've seen plenty. What sticks out in your memory?
Well, let's go back to the turn of the century, shall we? Approaching it, when Rome was really, I think for the only time in history, really, the centre of the world in Italian football, because these two teams were gearing up, pushed on by each other to try and win the league title. So, 99, you have the 3-1 Roma win against Lazio. Was it in April that year when Lazio were top of the table at the time, 6 points clear, looked like they were going to win their first league title since 1974, the Chinalia team. And Roma, much to their great satisfaction, threw a big spanner in the works.
Contro Marchegiani Totti, conclusione ribattuta ancora, il gol di Francesco Totti.
Yeah, extraordinary. A 3-1 win. It was a match that was billed a little bit as the battle of the number 10s. Roma had Totti, but Lazio in those days had Roberto Mancini, and they also had Marcelo Salas, they had Christian Vieri, they had Boksic, they had Mihalovic, Sergio Conceição. They also had Pavel Nedved, who got completely done in this match repeatedly by Cafu's sombreros. Roma had Totti and Del Vecchio, who had a great record in the derby.
Super Marco, the rakish Whippet looking.
The Trillia.
Yeah.
The Trout.
Exactly. I mean, he still looks no different. He's got the exact same hairstyle, greying a little. Yeah, you mentioned his record in this fixture. He scored 9 goals, oof, which for a long time was the joint record with Dino Da Costa, a Roma striker from the 1950s. Totti would later eclipse it. And this derby was very much about them too, Del Vecchio and Totti, because I think Del Vecchio put them in front and then doubled the lead. And Vieri, who'd had a couple of chances to get them back into it, ultimately does, makes it 2-1. And then near stoppage time, Totti scores one of the goals that I think started his legend in this fixture, because we see this start of this tradition of him unveiling these T-shirts with taunts aimed at Lazio. And this one, vi ho purgato ancora, I've purged you again.
Yeah, which is kind of hard to translate. Yeah. But I think the suggestion is I've basically given you an enema, or I've gone through you like a dose of salt.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But yeah, whatever it was, it certainly seemed to sting, because that ramped up the rivalry further.
And also, James, the fact that in the 70th minute, I think Mihailovic gets sent off. In the 80th minute, Alessandro Nesta gets sent off. And we talked about the fact that Lazio were top of the league at this point. The following week, they go to Juventus without these two big players for them. They lose. I think the week after that, they go and play against Fiorentina. Battigol scores against them, who'd obviously the following season become a Roma player. And their whole title challenge fell apart, and Milan ended up overtaking them and winning the league.
And I think this was the game which saw the ultras, the Lazio ultras, actually go to Formello in the days following, basically break into training and rough up the players just to let them know how unhappy they were at their performance. And just underlying this, Lazio was still top of the table at this point. Just extraordinary how keenly this result matters.
Yeah, and there were 6 points ahead at the top of the table going into this derby. It looked like they were going to win the league title for the first time since the team with Canaglia in 1974. And this defeat sent Lazio into a spiral because of the suspensions that they had from this game, which cost them against Juventus. And Milan ultimately were able to come back from the point of apparent no return and sneak the league title away from them.
Their manager that year, Sven-Göran Eriksson.
Former Roma manager
Roma manager, yeah. Who was to, of course, then pick up the title the following year.
Yeah.
And then Roma after that. Vi ho purgato ancora, a classic Totti sfottò. But another classic one came 16 years later when Totti's still banging them in derbies. In that 2-2, this was the 11th of January 2015.
Attenzione però Felipe Anderson, il gol, il raddoppio della Lazio, un sinistro di Felipe Anderson affilatissimo.
Obviously, slightly different looking lineup for Lazio, but they had the likes of match fixings Stefano Mauri and also Felipe Anderson, who that year was having an absolutely amazing campaign, powering Lazio, the Biancocelesti, to a remarkable third place finish. Anyway, those two players had put Lazio 2-0 up. Totti, though, came back with a brace. Do you remember the second goal?
You can't forget it. I mean, it's we were working on BT that day, and it was quite interesting. At halftime, Roma going obviously 2-0 down, and just before Totti goes out for the second half, Rudy Garcia, the manager at the time, basically brings him over to the whiteboard in the dressing room and basically just draws a circle in the penalty area and says, I do not want you to move from there. Don't ever think about coming short, involving yourself in the play. Just stay in the penalty area. And obviously, Totti gets one shortly after halftime. And as you say, the second goal at the far post, I think it's across from Strootman, which is kind of it's almost like a low scissor kick, isn't it? You know, even by his standards, is a good goal. Not his greatest derby goal. We'll get to that. The celebration, you know, again, just to show how Totti finds new ways, even in at that late age of his career, to kind of come back to haunt Lazio with getting the goalkeeper coach to bring his iPhone over, so he could then take a selfie of him in front of the Curva Sud, which I think probably still to this day is the most tweeted tweet that Roma have put out, even with this club that essentially wins all these social media awards.
Oh, what's that? It's the Lazio hymn. Sul prato verde vola, Lazio, non sarai mai sola. Zippy little number, non sarai mai sola.
Mm-hmm. You'll never be on your own.
Yep. Yeah. Vola, l'aquila nel cielo.
Yeah. Fly pigeon, no, eagle, fly.
when we talk about Lazio successes in the derby, I guess their counterpart to Francesco Totti in terms of Romanus and how much he embodies the spirit of the club and how much he represents Derby success would be Paolo Di Canio.
Absolutely. In a different way to, let's say, Giorgio Chinaglia in the 70s, who also would celebrate goals in such a way that, you know, was really quite flagrant and brazen in front of the Curva Sud, which is the Roma end. But yeah, Di Canio was from Rome, from just to the north of the city. Grew up as a Lazio fan, and I think a lot of people overlook how significant he is in terms of this rivalry, because not only his alignment with the politics of the, let's say, the extreme wing of the ultras, but also how he ended one of the longest winless runs that Lazio had in this rivalry, which had gone for 10 years between 1979 and 1989. Obviously, Lazio had been in and out of the league over that period. And this young...
He was a teenager? Exactly.
This young Paolo Di Canio realises a dream, which is not only to score in this derby, but to win this derby.
And what does he do? He goes and celebrates Canaglia's star under the Curva Sud.
Exactly. And again, you know, a lot of people, I think, when they think about Paolo Di Canio in this country, it's about his time at West Ham, Sheffield Wednesday, Celtic. He was away for 16 years and he comes back in 2004-05 and in January of that year does the exact same thing. Scores in a 3-1 win and celebrates in front of the Curva Sud.
Controllo di Liberano. Dentro subito per Di Canio, a memoria Di Canio, Paolo Di Canio, 1-0.
It was a remarkable story. Roma in 2005 were still vying for the title. Lazio were just battling to stay in Serie A. They were fighting relegation. They were also fighting bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. Claudio Lotito had just taken over the club, which had been left in financial ruin by the collapse of Sergio Cragnotti's business empire. They had these incredible negotiations with the hundreds of millions of pounds that they owed the tax authorities. And they'd signed just rafts of budget players. But Paolo Di Canio had made this decision to return to his boyhood club and take a massive pay cut in doing so to try and help them, to try and save them. And what does he do but open the scoring in this most important of derbies for Lazio?
And a great goal as well. A classic.
It's Liverani pops it over the top and he volleys it in.
Yeah, it's over Di Canio's shoulder and he volleys it first time. It's up there with his best Premier League goal, I would say, that iconic volley for West Ham. And Lazio were brilliant in this game. Liverani, in particular, set up two of the goals.
Bella palla di Liverani per Di Canio!
Paolo, you've hurt them again, is what Lazio's commentator, Guido De Angelis, keeps saying on Mediaset. Because this is the other great thing about this rivalry, is that on Mediaset, which I suppose was the equivalent of BT, they would have kind of fan commentators. And De Angelis was the Lazio one, Carlo Zampa was the Roma one.
Yeah, we'll hear a bit of him later on. Di Canio starts the scoring, Cassano equalises, but then Cesar, who I'd completely forgotten about, makes it 2-1 before Tommaso Rocchi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Rocky Horror Show for Roma.
3-1 victory, indeed. And Paolo Di Canio then cements his place in history and indeed infamy by going to the Curva Nord this time at the end of the game and doing a full-on Roman salute.
Yeah.
Which most people were pretty unhappy about. Alessandra Mussolini, the dictator's granddaughter, said how nice that Roman salute was. I'm going to write him a thank you note.
Yes, yeah. And, yeah, Di Canio does have on his bicep, Duce, tattooed. He went and had that tattoo done in Bologna, one of the leftist cities in the country. And I think also maybe shortly after coming back, he ended up having a massive tattoo on his back of various fascist iconography, which took 5 hours and 20 minutes. During which time he had just a 15-minute break, because that's how hard Paolo is. But Paolo's been, you know, very open about his political views. Yeah, there's entire chapters in which he dedicates in two of his books, kind of explaining his outlook, his political vision.
He's to the right of Marcotti, just to put that in.
Yeah, who helped him ghost one of those
That's
books?
True. Maybe it was Marco all along, perhaps. Yeah. Well, 16 years on then, Di Canio doing it again. In terms of Lazio's successes, that was huge.
Mm-hmm.
How does 2013 rank when one of the biggest derbies, another of the biggest derbies ever, took place? Because this time it was Roma against Lazio in the Coppa Italia final.
Yeah, this was the first knockout game with silverware at stake. First time there'd been a Derby della Capitale in the Coppa Italia final. And Lazio won it in what, the 71st minute, Senad Lulic.
The Lulic game.
Mauri fa viaggiare ancora Candreva, è partito il traversone Lobons e poi mette dentro Lulic per il vantaggio della Lazio al 26esimo minuto del secondo tempo.
He becomes an instant legend for Lazio. They were considering selling him at the end of that year. They've been unable to sell him since then because he's just such an idol of the fans, and would go on to launch a clothing line called 71 after the minute in which he scored.
Extraordinary.
And I think it was a Lazio fan who was doing his dissertation or his thesis at the time, and he famously in the acknowledgements thanked Senad Lulic for helping him essentially get over the line in submitting his work.
Magnificent. Both teams came into that game on the 26th of May. They absolutely packed out Stadio Olimpico, 70,000, for the Italian Cup final. They'd had disappointing seasons, both of them, Roma and Lazio, and the atmosphere was, I think, feisty would be the word. So I don't know if you recall, but K-pop star Psy, he of Gangnam
yes.
Style, was booked to do the kind of pre-match entertainment, but was pretty much unable to do so because he was absolutely deluged with whistles and fischi and boo and all the various kind of petardi, the bombs that were chucked. Legend has it that he actually cancelled the rest of his Italian tour on the basis of the reception he got at the Stadio Olimpico. I don't know. That's
what's the bigger victory?
But then, as you say, Lulic sealing his place in history on the 71st minute.
Well, and James, Lazio fans also, after the game, held mock funerals for Roma. You saw them carrying a coffin through the streets with Roma's name on it, with Roma's colours on it.
A lot of shops as well had the cancelli down with, instead of chiuso per lutto, chiuso per Lulic. Lutto being mourning.
Yeah, and Totti and De Rossi, you know, saying that was, along with the Di Canio game, the worst memory that they had of this rivalry, something that took them not weeks but years to get over. And I think what we should also point out is that, you know, Lazio under Lotito have won things. You know, they've won the cup twice. They've been in the final, I think, another two or three times. They obviously beat Juventus in the Super Cup a couple of years ago. You know, Roma in that time have not won anything. And that's something that, you know, Lazio fans, you know, rightly kind of lord over the Romanisti. You know, Roma tend to get the spotlight and seem to do, you know, higher profile things. Lazio have, you know, been more successful in terms of at least the silverware that they've won in that time.
I guess in that perspective, yes. Yeah. Lazio's biggest ever derby win, do you know when that was?
It was the one I think I was at.
December 2006?
Yeah, the 3-0.
Right. The Delio Rossi in the Fountain game.
Yeah.
So Roma, this was the season when Spalletti had invented the new no-striker formation. He'd responded to injuries by basically playing Totti as a false nine, and it was absolutely brilliant. They were on a six-game winning streak coming into this game. They'd beaten Milan. They'd taken Catania apart 7-0.
I was at that as well.
Were you?
That was riotous outside, because Catania, that was their first season in Serie A for a donkey's years, and they brought 8,000 ultras with them, who, after being humiliated like that, I remember coming out of the ground with my Swedish friend, quite high from the guy who'd been chipping a rock of marijuana in front of us, to find that I wasn't hallucinating. Catania fans were genuinely tipping a bus over outside.
Wow.
But this one again, the derby here, the 3-0 win for Lazio. Yeah, Lazio were magnificent in this game. Ledesma scores one of the great derby goals, top corner from 35 yards.
Poi costretto a scaricare all'indietro Ledesma con il sinistro.
There were flares being thrown in the Tribuna Tevere, which was where I was sat, essentially Bo Vultures, I think, had taken tickets in that side lateral stand so they could get at each other, which was, you know, made quite uncomfortable experience. And then, yeah, leaving maybe 2 or 3 minutes before full time, running with my head down, only to see that there was just a line of boots in front of me and plexi shields of the riot police, kind of ready to jump into action where they needed.
It might have been uncomfortable for you leaving, but even more so for Lazio manager Delio Rossi, who it turned out had promised the legendary Lazio-supporting nun, Sor Paola,
yes,
that in the event of a victory, he would strip off to his smalls and dive into
the Janicola Fountain.
Janicola Fountain.
Which, if you watch the opening sort of scene of La Grande Bellezza, The Great Beauty, it features in that.
He does an Anita Ekberg, essentially. Just to underline, this is December, and it's cold.
It's cold. And the Roma fans have gotten word that this was how Delio Rossi was going to celebrate a victory in the derby.
Do you think this is true?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay. And so they say that they basically got there first and warmed the waters for him a little bit.
Yeah, used it as a marble urinal,
right,
let's say.
Right.
But it didn't stop him from jumping in, getting into his smalls and, you know, shivering out and then being given a dressing gown. But yeah, Delio Rossi, who, yeah, I mean, won one of those cups with Lazio under Lotito, and, you know, had, as you say, the biggest win that they had in this rivalry. Yeah, one of the proudest moments Lazio fans look back on, along with, I think they were, when they were down in the second division in the late 70s, early 80s, they played Roma in the cup, and Roma were in the top flight, and they beat them. And, you know, again, that was something that they dearly loved, the fact that, you know, even though they were a second-tier side, they were still the number one team in the city, which, again, plays into this rivalry, because Lazio established in 1900, Roma in 1927, yeah, Claudio Lotito insists that when Macron or Puma or whoever it is make their shirts, that under the collar it does say, we are the first team in Rome, be it first team in established, be it first team in their opinion as being the best team in the city.
3-0, Lazio's biggest ever winning margin. Roma have gone slightly better than that. And the 11th of March 2002 came an extraordinary victory for the Giallorossi, and what was a pretty interesting game, because, as we kind of referenced before, this was the two most recent champions of Italy coming together. Roma, who were the title holders, and Lazio, the team that they had taken the crown from the year before, and a match that was all about Vincenzo Montella and this extraordinary piece of commentary.
È un godimento assoluto, è l'esaltazione del maschio oggi, veramente. Ti amo, Vincenzo, ti amo.
Carlo Zampa there, declaring his undying love for Vincenzo Montella.
He was going to give up women because he's so in love with Montella and what he did that night, which was unprecedented. No Roma player, I don't think no player at all, had scored a poker, 4 goals in a derby before. And what's incredible about this one is not only does he score a hat-trick in the first half, but 2 of the goals are headers. And he's 5'5", Montella. You know, I don't think he'd scored many headers in his life before. And the thing is, for 3 of those goals, well, all of them, the guy he gets the better of in every single one is Alessandro Nesta.
Right. So Alessandro Nesta, who, again, legend has it, refuses to come out for the second half.
Yeah.
Whether it was his decision, whether it was Zaccheroni, he said after the game that his mind was elsewhere, his head wasn't right, because the club had already told him they were going to be selling him to Milan at the end of the season. And Nesta was a born and bred Lazio player, come up through the ranks, Roman kid.
Same generation as Totti. They'd played against each other in youth teams. There's some really great grainy footage of their first game together on one of those kind of dusty intercity pitches in Rome. And, you know, I think that was a great shame that Lazio found themselves in such financial dire straits that they had to sell Nesta, and ended up briefing that he wanted to go, that it was his decision and he was betraying the cause, when he would never have left had they been able to keep him. That's, I think, the thing with Totti, is that Totti had big offers and turned them down, but the club always kind of ponied up, I suppose, in order to try and keep him. Lazio weren't able to do that with Nesta. Otherwise, I think he would have been there from the start to the finish of his career.
Again, this was the time when things were beginning to go seriously wrong for Chirio, the Craniotti conglomerate. Three goals in 25 minutes from Montella. I think they were all set up by Francesco Totti. There's an incredible lob from Stankovic to get Lazio on the scoreboard.
Yeah, one of the great forgotten goals, I suppose. Because it was then outdone by another even better lob.
Well, is this the one you were referencing before when you talked about his greatest derby goal ever?
Yeah.
Okay.
Without doubt, because it's trademark Totti.
Ecco Totti, il pallonetto di Meghetta, goal!
Totti, what, outside the box, maybe 25, 30 metres, spots Peruzzi off his line, and scores a cucchiaio, his spoon, the lob that he made a habit of throughout his career. And then, obviously, another T-shirt, James, this time whips it off, Sei Unica, which was for his soon-to-be wife, Ilary Blasi, in the stands. You are unique.
Who was sitting there in the Tribuna d'Onore, Tribuna VIP, and not far from Sergio Craniotti, who basically did not move a muscle from the start of the game to the end. Right through halftime, he just sat there, transfixed by the collapse of his team. A remarkable, remarkable match. 5-1, it finished, and who knows, maybe we'll see something like that this weekend. Saturday evening it is, when the two teams get back together again. Now, in recent years, one of the key elements of the derby, the tifo, the choreografia that happens before the game, has been not at its old levels, because there's been protests mostly from the Lazio fans who've been trying to unseat Lotito for years now. But the Roma ultras as well have been scaling back on their commitment to this, and even coming in late and various other things. There was one derby where they were on strike for the actual derby, I think, wasn't it?
Well, both sets of fans. Yeah. And that was because after the, was it the Coppa Italia final between Napoli and Fiorentina, where a Napoli fan was killed before that game, the Procura, they decided to basically take all these anti-violence measures and put plexiglass, partition essentially the Curva Sud and the Curva Nord with these plexiglass walls, which both sets of ultras took issue with and went on strike. And so attendances at Roma and Lazio games really suffered in that period. They've since been removed. And I think we have seen in the last 2 years that certainly because the teams have been either, in Roma's case, reaching Champions League semi-finals, in Lazio's case, being in the mix for the top four until the final day, attendances have been, I'd say, around the 40,000 mark.
Right.
But yeah, I would share with you, James, the hope that there's a great choreography this weekend, because we all know what these two sets of fans are capable of, really, which I would say matches what we see on a regular basis in the Madonnina, the Milan derby, which some of the choreographies in that are just mind-blowing.
Well, let's have a little look forward to the game and indeed some of the other lights this weekend after this. If you're thinking, where can I watch the action this weekend? Well, you may be aware that Serie A is back on UK TV, courtesy of Premier Sports, who are the exclusive rights holders for Serie A in the UK until 2021. One of them is the Rome derby. Another is Napoli Juve. We'll be talking about that very shortly as well. And a little bit later on, we'll have news of a special offer for you, listener, because you listen to Galazzo, from Premier Sports. Just a quick preview on what awaits between the Giallorossi and the Biancocelesti this time around. Now, on Tuesday afternoon, we still didn't know when the game was going to be played.
Mm-hmm.
Have they now finally settled what the kickoff time is?
No. Well, at the time of recording,
yeah.
No.
Okay.
And I was surprised that it was going to be an evening game, because they've been reluctant to essentially allow these sets of fans to have all day for the tension to build.
Right. And also the night in which to operate.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll no doubt find out when our listeners find out when it's going to be played.
Yeah. Okay, 6 points currently between Roma and Lazio, although Lazio do have a game in hand after their fixture last weekend away at Udinese was postponed. Roma, who've actually put together a really decent run of form after that 7-1 thrashing by Fiorentina in the Coppa Italia, they've won four of their last five.
They've got the best record in the league, I think, since they lost to Juventus in December. They're unbeaten in eight. And they're scoring a lot of goals. The issue is, and I think Lazio will look at this and see it as an opportunity for them, is they're also conceding a lot as well. And they're sweating on the fitness of their best defender, Kostas Manolas, who twisted his ankle in the 3-2 win against Frosinone last weekend.
Right, a narrow 3-2 win, which I think that's not exactly confidence building, having a result like that against a side that's struggling like Frosinone are.
No, I mean, they've won, but they haven't played well in each of the last two games against teams that are fighting for their lives down at the bottom, Bologna and Frosinone. But you know, in some respects, Dzeko is scoring goals in the league now, which he hadn't been doing, and is in good form. And El Shaarawy's been very good this season. I think profited from the fact that Pirotti has spent a lot of time out injured, although he's back now. Under has been injured for quite some time. Kluivert's taking some time to adapt. Yeah, this should be good. Although
Zaniolo, I guess, will be the player everyone's looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, action. Also because as Il Romanista, the kind of Roma daily paper, pointed out that you can use the letters in his name to spell Lazio. No.
Well, if that's not significant, I don't know what is. Lazio, in the meantime, arriving with a real defensive crisis, all sorts of injuries at the back, and a kind of makeshift defensive line. They've had 5 defeats in the last 8 games, got knocked out of the Europa League, and are really trailing now in the race for a top 4 place, which this could be a huge boost towards. 6 points behind Roma, as I say. If they win this game and their game in hand, they're now level with the Giallorossi.
Yeah, exactly. Lazio were also involved in midweek in the first leg of their cup semi-final against Milan, which they drew 0-0. But they're in a position at the moment where they're having to play Lucas Leiva in defence, and Lucas Leiva's not 100% fit at the moment. And the guys who were brilliant for them last year, Milinkovic-Savic and Luis Alberto, have shown flickers of getting back to their best, but have never really burnt consistently. And I think that's been problematic for them. So, but it's a derby. You learn to mistrust the form book in this rivalry. Also, let's not forget, was it a couple of years ago, Lazio in the semi-finals of the Cup knocked out Spalletti's Roma. Simone Inzaghi, you know, I think helped consolidate his place on the Lazio bench by doing that in this fixture. So, yeah, should be an interesting one. Of course, all fans of both teams, the way they want to win a derby is by the other team scoring an own goal.
Negro style.
Right. The Lazio defender who famously told Totti to speak Italian in one of those games rather than Roman dialect, scored an own goal in 2000, was it?
I think it was 2000.
And then
yeah.
Roma fans decided to get Negro number 2 shirts printed on the Roma colours. You can still see them at derbies to this day.
Magnificent. Okay, so that top 4 race, of course, also features Inter, who are in 3rd place, but rapidly being caught by the likes of Roma and Milan. Inter away at Cagliari. They, of course, had that remarkable Inter, that 3-3 draw away at Fiorentina on a Sunday night. We talked about that a little bit in the Totally Football show. We should just salute again the extraordinary Christoph Piontek. I know he didn't score in the clash in the cup midweek, but he grabbed another goal, and it was a fine finish on a very nicely worked Milan move in the
3-0 win against Empoli.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's now, I think, 5 goals in 4 in the league since joining Milan, and 7 in 6 now in all competitions because of that Coppa game midweek.
Yeah, he became the first Milan player to score in his first 4 league starts for the club since Oliver Bierhoff in 1998.
Now, it's really tempting when you see him in action, particularly when you see goals like the one he scored against Atalanta, which was this, remarkable over-the-shoulder volley, in the sense that he volleys it back over his shoulder into the goal.
Yeah, it's one of the goals of the season, without a doubt, because the ball comes in from Ricardo Rodriguez, who's basically just got into Atalanta's half, and I think puts the ball towards Piontek, expecting him to hold it up and lay it off for someone.
Piontek's running towards it, and without hesitation, he basically just foots it back over his shoulder into the goal. Extraordinary. But as I say, it's really tempting when you see him in action to get very, very silly about the comparisons you want to make with him. The picture of of Sheva him.
And Kaká.
With him and Paquetá. Comparing him to Sheva or any one of the glorious Rossoneri centravanti of the past. But he looks like he's the real deal.
Yeah, and it's quite interesting listening to Gattuso talk about him in that, you know, when he was unveiled, he said he's a little bit like RoboCop in that he basically only has one stock phrase, which is, I want to score. And yeah, after the Atalanta game, he also went one further, saying, just as, you know, newborn babies, their first word tends to be mummy, mummy, mamma, mamma. Piontek's must have been goal, goal, goal. And he says that having him around the training ground, Piontek doesn't like training. He doesn't want to train. He just wants to play and score goals. And so essentially what they limited him to doing is they just show him clips of how defenders move, how defenders play, and work on those movements. And that's it. That's all they do in training with him. And it's working for them.
They're 2 points behind Inter and they're 1 point ahead of Roma. And they are hosting Sassuolo this weekend while Inter travel to Cagliari. And Roma, of course, have the derby. Now, there's another absolutely huge match this weekend. It's going to be the Sunday evening game as Napoli welcome Juventus to the San Paolo. Can they become the first team to beat Juve this season in Serie A?
I think they can, because Napoli are in good form at the moment. They handsomely beat Parma at the Ennio Tardini at the weekend 4-0. Milik is in great form, scored as many free kicks as Lionel Messi this season, scored three, went under the wall for this one. They were without Insigne at the weekend. It didn't matter. Ancelotti's using his squad really well. You think of Unas, who looks really good at the moment, scored twice against Zurich and came off the bench and scored against Parma as well. Juventus look all at sea at the moment. They look physically exhausted.
Since our last show, of course, they've had that 2-0 defeat away at Atletico Madrid and then a very narrow victory at Bologna this weekend.
Yeah, lucky win against Bologna. I think, again, it was part of this trend where they haven't really played well at all since the turn of the year. And Allegri's tried a couple of new things. He's tried Bernardeschi in midfield, and he did okay against Bologna. He tried Cancelo as a winger rather than as a fullback, but that didn't really work. And, you know, at the moment, Juventus look out of sorts, and teams with less talent than Napoli in the league have been able to get at them. So, you know, I think Napoli got in front against them in Turin in the reverse fixture by pressing high, which, you know, Juventus find that really awkward to play against. And then Ronaldo had a brilliant game. He didn't score, but he was involved in all of Juventus' three goals. But I would say that Ronaldo now is not in the kind of form he was then. And that's going to complicate things for Juventus this weekend.
Well, the game at the San Paolo and the Rome Derby, whenever they play it, are just two of the five games that will be shown live on Premier Sports this weekend, as well as the Clásico in Spain between Real Madrid and Barcelona, because Premier Sports also have the rights to La Liga 2. Listener, I mentioned a deal. Because you listen to Golazzo, you can get Premier Sports via Sky and the Premier Player for just $5.99 a month and get your first month completely free. Sign up now at premiersports.com, entering the promo code Golazzo, or dial 0871 663 9000. Premier Sports is also available on Virgin TV. Terms and conditions apply, so find out more by heading to premiersports.com and entering that promo code Golazzo. That's Golazzo with one L and two Zs. I'm really looking forward to this weekend, and who knows if it won't afford us another fat chapter in the history of this most extraordinary of Italian fixtures, the Rome Derby, as well as, of course, the colossal Napoli-Juve title clash, just 13 points between them, remember. We'll look back on all of that next week, James.
Looking forward to it.
As am I. Listener, do join us then next Wednesday when we return with Galato. For now, from all of us here, it's arrivederci. Campionato di
calcio italiano. You've been listening to Galazzo, the totally Italian football show. It's a Muddy Knees Media production, and for sales and advertising, please email sales@muddyneesmedia.com. Check out our other football shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audioboom, and everywhere else you get your audio on demand.